Rambam, mission number 5 is the mitzvah of tefillah, of prayer. Says the Rambam, which is tefillah la'avo, the mitzvah is to serve God. It says it, which repeated twice, v'amru v'avatim es Hashem elokeichem, to serve our God. V'amru, and it says, v'osa ta'avdo, and furthermore it says, and to you we should serve. V'avol b'shadat tziva hu gam keim etzuvim la'klolim kamoshi v'arnu v'sharaz dalet. Even though it's a broader principle to serve, you can interpret it in multiple ways. In fact, you can probably think about multiple ways to serve God. It can really mean anything. Serving God can be anything from actual avoda, perhaps in the Beis HaMikdash, to just any mitzvah really. Hine yesh bo yichad ech achar shu tziva l'tfila. V'loshin sifri, v'lavadu zu tfila. The sifri tells us to serve means tfila, to daven, to pray. But the Sifri also points out to serve also is through Talmud Torah. So perhaps next week we'll discuss the connection or the duality of serving as it manifests itself both in Tefillah as well as in Talmud Torah. But for now, the Rambam is telling us the avoda is through tefillah. As we know, we'll see in a minute, Ezu avoda shebelev, zuhi tefillah. Uve mishnas, sharabi elazer, beno sharabi yosek, li amr minayin leokar tefillah, leikar tefillah mitzvah, mihecha et Hashem lakakatira, veusa tavot. The Pasuk says you should serve God, you should fear God, excuse me, and Him you should serve. Okay, so serve Him in the temple, serve Him with directly, pray to Him, etc. So very simple. Right now the Rambam is saying, seemingly I quote a couple of psukim, all are indicating that there's an idea of serving. What does it mean to serve? So the Rambam is saying, I mean, you can argue he's making a jump. He's making an assumption. Again, serving can mean many, many things. We'll see in a minute the Ramban may accuse him of this. But for the Rambam, once you assume avoda means tefillah, so then the term avoda, to serve, shows up all the time. The Rambam just, you know, as evidence in the Rambam right here. So therefore, there's a mitzvah asay, a command to daven. Says the Sifri, just a Sifri quote, it's always good to see the primary sources. Again, the Sifri is from the Tanaic period. It's one of the parallel sources to the Gemara. Ma la'avoda, what does it mean to serve? Zut tfila. This is tfila. Atomer zut tfila, oina ela avoda. You might think, so Sifri is basically asking our question. You might think the word avoda, to serve, really connotes like service in the temple. See, why would you think it's tfila as in uttering something, sitting around and davening? You think it's serving the temple. You might think, really, it means service. Tamalomer b'chol levad b'chol nafshem. You should serve with all your heart, with all your soul. Can you really serve God in the temple within your heart? No, the temple is a very visceral experience. There's blood, there's sacrifice, there's sprinkling blood. It's a real concrete experience. In fact, the Ramban points out that may be very much part and parcel of the very reason for why there are karbanos. You're supposed to see all that blood, and you're supposed to remind you, wait, I did a sin, that blood should be my blood. God gave us this great gift, the sacrifice of the animals going in place of me. Let's not get bogged down on that hashkafa right there. So what does it mean to serve? Zut tefillah. Rather, how do you serve God in your heart? That means through tefillah. The Chen David Omar, Tochen tefillasi ketoros lefanecha mishayis kfiyu nechas aref. Yes.
Okay. I understand the idea that avoda is service in the temple, but isn't tefillah, modern tefillah, also a substitute because we don't have the temple also?
So I'm not going to say it's not a substitute. It's not a substitute, but we say it's patterned after the service of the temple, but it wasn't a substitute because even in the times of the temple, they had tefillah. As we'll see very shortly, there were tefillah's chana.
Right,
chana was in the temple or in the mikdash praying, which is where our tefillah is patterned after. And we'll see, in fact, the Rav is going to make an argument that we, among the many things we learn from Chana's tefillah, is not just the way in which we pray, but also the times in which we pray. But we'll get there in a minute. The tefillah always existed. It's part of who we are as a believing human being. Yeah.
Okay, but the structure of tefillah and the way we implement it now, so you say it's just a pattern after and
maybe the times. But it existed. Avram Yitzchak and Yaakov. It's a machlokas, it's a gemara there. Okay, fine. What was I just going to say? You reminded me of something else. I don't remember it now, so we'll have to come back to it. Okay, so tefillah is... I don't remember what I was going to say. Okay, so tefillah is avoda shebelev, and that is found here. Oh yeah, that's what I was going to say. I believe the others are, we're familiar with the first Mishnah Pirkei Avos, second Mishnah Pirkei Avos, that says shlosh dvarim ha'olam kai olam omein. On what? Three things. For avoda we'll study. What's avoda? We always submit tefillah. I believe the Pirkei Rabbi Elazar says avoda is avoda in the Beis Hamikdash. But then, interestingly, it says gemil chasadim is tefillah. It's a fast understanding and insight into what tefillah is. All right. Says the Rambam, what exactly is tefillah? We have to kind of define then what, therefore, is tefillah. When we say tefillah is daraisa, we mean every part of tefillah is daraisa. So Rambam says not so fast. Mitzvah ha'aseh l'spal b'chol yom. Mr. Rambam found hilchot tefillah. Perek Aleph, there's a command to daven every single day. Shenemar, we have Avodah Shem Elokei. It's time to serve our God. And we know, as the Torah Shebaal Peh tells us, this is tefillah. Shenemar, Avodah B'chol Levavchem. Omer Chachamim, Eitzut Avodah Shebelev, Zut tefillah. So he's quoting that in the Sefri. There's your source, right? We mentioned in the beginning of this, the Rambam doesn't quote sources too often. The Rambam wrote, he was going to write a source book, and then he never got around to it. The ain minat tefillos in the Torah, but the amount of tefillos we daven each and every day, that's not found in the Torah. It's not found in the Torah. The ain mishnah tefillos dos min haTorah. The ain tefillos man kavu min haTorah. That the amount of tefillah, the structure of the tefillah, the time of tefillah, that's not mida oraisa. The Torah just says daven, and Rav Shechter always points out whenever the Torah gives a command that's seemingly often, so we say it's once a day, every day, unless there's other mitigating circumstances. So, again, structure, no. Zman, no. But the fact you should daven every day, and what exactly that looks like, unclear as of now. But again, the idea that you should daven, that is midoraisa. And therefore, if there's no zman, just once a day every day, therefore, women and slaves are obligated in tefillah. As we know, a woman is not obligated in time-bound mitzvahs. But if you tell me that tefillah is not time-bound, as there's no zman kavua, it's not that there's not, you have to finish by the third hour of the day or the fourth hour of the day, and you have to finish by evening, so that suddenly turns it into a regular old mitzvah, and now a woman is going to be obligated in it. Vishu mitzvah se shelo asman grama. Elchi mitzvah du kach hu shiya adam mischanein. Okay, wait, pause right there, by the way. Chacham Avadia in a tshuva points out, if this is true, not everyone agrees to what he says here, so l'chorah, he says, the fact that we've now instituted on a rabbinic level certain time-bound restrictions to our tefillah. Krishma, or even Pesukei Dezimra has to be done by a certain hour of the day. He makes an argument that gives the structured tefillah a time-bound structure, a requirement, if you will, and therefore therefore it's considered a time-bound mitzvah on a rabbinic level. So a woman in the Sephardi world doesn't make brachos on time-bound mitzvahs. She shouldn't say Baruch Shamar Yishtabach for all those brachos. Because she should not say them. Because now, on a rabbinic level, those are all time-bound.
But they can be time-bound.
They can't say brachos. Sephardim don't say brachos. Rambam thinks it's Rambam Beitam. Yes, it's Rambam Beitam. Sephardim, they'll do them, but they won't make brachos. Correct.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, we brachas, a different conversation. Why not?
No,
but
no.
Therefore, again, not everyone agrees, because you can argue at the end of the day, they impose a structure on a non-time, if you impose a structure on a non-time-bound mitzvah, does that make it time-bound? So, again,
yeah,
he's
so
making...
like a rabbinic thing, doing it
right, so there's a lot...
limiting that...
Exactly, but he makes his argument, and therefore, he actually thinks this. I don't know if all Spartan pass in this. You can ask your wife what her family does. You don't know. I asked a friend of mine, a Sephardi friend of mine. He said his wife makes the brachos. I believe that's what he told me.
Yes, I know that. But she went to an Ashkenazi school.
Right.
I'm gonna ask someone.
Ask someone. But it happens to be. This is again an interesting observation. Again, the Rambam, Chacham Avadi is basing it off this.
So you're saying that the woman shouldn't do it, and then it comes to brachos of Atola.
So that's what, again, I don't want to get involved in that discussion, but basically there are a lot of factors involved. Part of it also can be, what is the status of a bracha? Is it bracha or a bracha levatala deraisa derabanan? For the Rambam might be deraisa, for a Ben Atam will be derabanan. So we say that also, meaning with a lot of fact to play, but that's beyond what we're going to go through right now. Okay. Then the Rambam says, "Kach ishi." So what exactly is tefillah? Once the Rambam tells us that tefillah, there's no actual structure from the Torah, or there's no, again, the brachos are all derabbanan, and the words we're saying is derabbanan, time is derabbanan. So what exactly, when the Torah says daven, so what does the Torah mean, at least on a level of the Arais, in the world of Moshe Rabbeinu, as Reis Volevsky always says, in the world of Moshe Rabbeinu, what did it look like? Kachi, this is what it was. Ki adam mischanin mispala b'chol yom, umagish shvichu shal kadosh baruch hu, a person is mischanin mispala daven every day, first they praise God, v'achach shal tzarchav, they ask their needs, so they ask God for things, they request God from God things. And then they give thanks to God. So again, our Shemoneh is patterned after this. First you praise God, you say, you then ask for things, and then these three things are integral for davening on a level of daraisa. Why that is, I don't want to get into now because, again, we're truncating the shir a little bit. But this is what the Rambam says, and maybe we'll explore a little bit of it in a few moments. But at least, on the very least, that's what a person has to do every day. So in the world before the Anshei Knesset HaGadolah, that great body got up there and said, "This is what Shemoneh Esrei looks like." Seemingly every day, people would get up there and they would say, "Thank you, God. You're great. You're wonderful. Please give me whatever I need, and thank you, Hashem, for whatever else again." And then what happened was, when people started forgetting how to do that, and then they had to come along and institute a more formal structure to davening. Any thoughts, comments before we move on? Questions? Anybody have something to say?
You have a chapter back into
that question? Yeah, we can do that. You can at least look in his book. Look in his book, see if he says anything. Okay. So, what does the Ramban say? Comes along the Ramban, Nachmanides, and he takes issue with the Ramban. Says the Ramban, this idea of tefillah is not a chiyuv. There's no obligation to daven every single day. So what's going on? Why are we gathering here at all? And listen to what he says. It's actually, there's something very powerful. This is one of the great character traits, one of the great chesedim, chesed. One of the great loving kindnesses that God gives to us. That God, the great, awesome, almighty God, is willing to set aside time and listen to the needs of the puny little human beings. If you think about it for a moment, this is one of the philosophical questions when it comes to prayer. Beyond the general one, and the Rav talks about this as well, is like, why should God care about us human beings, or more important than that, it's really a question from our perspective, who are we to approach the great, awesome God and tell him I have needs? Our greatest needs, even if they are the greatest needs, are nothing. They pale in comparison to God. We think we have problems, even if they are the greatest problems in the world. I mean, they really are problems, and they're real, real problems. But like, God's looking at history, God's like, I have history in front of me. I know problems. I saw Holocaust. I saw the Christ. Like, what are you? You think it's a problem just because in your life you have some major tragedy? That's not a... So, how can we come before God and ask him our tefillahs?
The obvious answer would be, why did you create us then?
Again, we can take it back, but I want to deal with it right here. And says, what's the Ramban's answer? This is one of the great chesed of God. God's saying, I created you. Maybe it fits in there. And my chesed to you, my great loving kindness is, even though I may be this great, amazing, awesome God, sitting far, created the cosmos, created the universe. Now we see with this new telescope, created billions of universes. But I care about each and every one of you. And I want to hear about what you think is, or what seemingly would look like a stupid complaint because you're just a little human being. If it's meaningful to you, then it's meaningful to me. Which is, by the way, as parents, we've all experienced that. Yeah, kid says something, and if we saw another kid crying about something, we're like, oh, come on, kid. When our kid comes to us crying about something, like, if you care about it, then as a parent, I care about it too. So that's what the Ramban's saying here. Ramban's saying, tefillah is not a chiyuv. Tefillah is a tremendous opportunity that God said to each and every one of us. I'm giving you this ability to talk to me. I'm giving you this ability to have a conversation and a relationship with me. It's one of the chesets. Excuse me. To show me the own b'chol kari alef, I will listen and answer to each and every one of you when you call to me. And therefore, v'ikir hakostim, and the pasuk says, v'ov b'chol levavchem, so what do you do with the pasuk of you should serve God with all your heart, that we've been the Rambam quoted continuously. To this part, I didn't totally understand, but I'm going to read what he says. Mitzvah asei shikol avodasa lekel yisparach v'chol avenu. The mitzvah is that every avoda you should do should be full-heartedly. It sounds good, but I don't exactly know what that means practically. So, you should, like, and how is it different from other talmud tiel hashem lekecha? So again, if anyone here has any thoughts on that. But again, the Rambam has to do some. Ramban has to do some with that pasuk. But the point is, the Rambam does not. Ramban, excuse me, Nachmanides does not think it's a mitzvah. Rather, tefillah is a gift God gave to us.
So the
Ramban
is not using the pasuk as a mitzvah itself. He's
no.
Just using a pasuk as a general
meta principle. Yeah.
That you need to.
In general, serve God. What does that mean? When? What the context? How do you? What the definition? I have no idea.
Like the pasukim in Shema, that all of the mitzvot should be on your heart.
So it's interesting. He quotes that next. I cut it out. I believe he quotes that. He said that the same way as v'hafas shemal kafah. That's literally what he quotes next. You could have written.
Covered in all that.
Yeah, he literally quotes next pasuk. So Yair is pointing out, like we say v'hafas shemal kafah, like there's like a lot of these broad meta principles. So he seems to subsume this under or include this in those broad meta principles with a lot subsumed underneath.
Of course,
again,
so much more is specific.
Yeah, again, my point is I don't exactly know what, beyond that, what are the confines and how to delineate exactly what he means. I'm not sure, but the point is, for the Ramban, it's not a mitzvah. And then he says something very interesting. He says, maybe there is an obligation. He says, so what about the pasuk that says, the tzifri, the end of the day, the tzifri, which is the Talmud, which is, again, parallel to the Talmud, says, but avodish v'leiv, zut tzvila, it is tzvila. So how are you going to tell me, no, avodah is just serving God wholeheartedly, but it says it's tzvila. So he gets two explanations. Either he says it's an asmachta, and asmachta we've discussed previously is just sometimes the sages, rather than just saying this is rabbinic, they would find some sort of pasuk and use it, that pasuk, as almost like a mnemonic device so that people would remember when they read that pasuk, oh, there's a rabbinic involved. It's like a way to remember things. It raises the stature of the rabbinic stricture so people remember it more. Not that it's deraisa, but rather just it gives it a certain credence and stature. Again, you can always call something a smachta. It's a little bit of a, I don't want to say it's a cop-out, but okay. And then he says something interesting. We're going to come back to this in 1 minute. Or perhaps, he says, there is a mitzvah d'oraisa, a positive command to daven, and that's just the eis tzara. When it's an eis tzara, when you're in dire straits, when there is tragedy, when there is a calamity, when you are in a real need, when you're in a crisis, so then a crisis engenders an obligation, mid'oraisa, to reach out and call to God. So that's what he says. So just to sum the Ramban, summarize the Ramban, he says there's no mitzvah d'oraisa to daven every single day. Rather, God gave us a great gift. We can daven. He'll listen to us. Chesed. But the pasuk says you should daven. You should serve God. He says serve. It means serve wholeheartedly. Oh, but the Sefri says serve God with all your heart. The is tefilah. So he says either it's just an asmachta, it's an illusion, or he says the eis tzara, when there's a crisis, then there is an obligation to daven. What are we doing timing? Okay, so let's just do I want to go through two of the reasons why the Ramban rejects the Rambam. It's important to know. Why does the Ramban reject the Rambam? Why does he do so? What led him to this? So there are actually a couple Gemaras that lead him to do so. One is the Gemara in Sukkah tells us that if you are in the middle of eating and it comes time to shake the lulav, you have to stop eating in order to shake the lulav so you don't miss the mitzvah of lulav, but does not say the same if you are eating and it comes time to daven. So the Ramban says, why not? But if both were d'oraisa, you should stop your meal for davening as well. That's number one. Number two is that someone who is a balkari, who is a tummy balkari, they cannot daven or learn until they go to the mikvah. That's rabbinic. Ezra was attacking this. They can't daven or learn until they go to the mikvah. We have annulled that decree, although the Hasidim still are machbid on this, to some extent, not really. So the Gemara says, but at the end of the day, when it comes to things that are d'oraisa, areas of ritual that are d'oraisa, we're not going to waive that d'oraisa. Meaning to say, someone who's a balkari, yes, you can't daven and learn, but you still have to do birchas hamazon, v'achalta v'sevata v'rachta d'oraisa, and still have to say krishma. So it says the Ramban, well, why does it say tefillah? must be from the fact that the Gemara doesn't say tefillah and only says Krishma and says Birchas Hamazon, must be that tefillah is only the Rabbanim. Okay, so those are some of his proofs. And there are other people show how it's not, these aren't proofs. The Kesef Mishnah points out that if according to the Rambam, tefillah is literally just like a moment, right? So maybe I have to get out of it. Okay, it's not as pressing. I think it was important to see. Okay, where does this leave us? Rabbi Soloveitchik points something out, and I think this is one of the more famous pieces from the Rav, and we're going to end with this. He says as follows. What we have here is a machlokus between Rambam and Ramban. Rambam says there's a mitzvah every single day to daven. The Ramban says there's no mitzvah every single day to daven. Rather, the mitzvah, the raisa of tefillah, is the ace tzara. When there is a calamity, when there's a crisis. Says Rabbi Soloveitchik, perhaps one could make the following argument. Really, they're not arguing. They both think there's only a mitzvah to arise to daven be'es tzara, when there's a crisis. What the argument is how do you define crisis? The Ramban is saying a crisis is when there's, you know, the enemy's at the door, when the army's marching into town. For the Rambam, he's saying no. It's more almost existential. If you look at who we are as human beings, that in a way, our very existence, there's a certain crisis to our existence. Every moment is a miracle. Every moment we could be struck down. Every moment is filled with the great miracle of being alive. And if you recognize that, so then you're like, oh, I got to daven, I got to thank Hashem, I got to ask Hashem for more. In fact, Rabbi Soloveitchik points out, this could also come back to what I said earlier, why do you need to have bakasha? Why do you need to ask God for things? Why is it integral to davening? If I were to say to you, what would be the most important part of davening, you'd probably say thanking God and praising God. Why asking for God? Rabbi Soloveitchik points out, because what he calls it a crisis awareness. When you recognize what you need, that creates the recognition how much you need. So you realize you're in a crisis, so you call out to God. When you call out to God, you realize, oh, I'm calling out to God because I lack something. And it creates this cycle of, I need, so I call out to God. I'm calling out to God because I need. And this cycle. It says the Rabbi Soloveitchik as follows. I read these words inside. The controversy between Nachmanides and Maimonides does not revolve about the conjunction of prayer and sorrow. They are in agreement that sorrow underlies prayer. They differ, however, about the substance of the experience of sorrow itself. For Maimonides, the depth crisis addresses metaphysical, unknown and undefined, and clandestine personal distress. The crisis is encountered in the strangeness of human destiny. Such a crisis is not brought about by extraneous factors or precipitated by coincidental entanglements. Prayer emerges from seclusion, from out of the loneliness of the individual whom everybody save God has abandoned. Man is always in need because he's always in crisis and distress. There's something very powerful about that. Just as who we are as man. The loneliness, the distress. And therefore, for the Rambam, tefillah is daraisa every single day, because every single day, every single moment, there's a certain crisis to our existence.
The Rambam daven every day?
I assume he daven every day. It's a great chesed that he got from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So to sum it up, and next week we'll hopefully do a part two. To sum it up, what we have today was as follows. Mitzvah number five was the mitzvah to daven every single day. It says the Rambam that comes from the verse of to serve God. Therefore, to serve God, how do you serve God? In your heart. So that comes through tefillah. The Ramban says, and the Rambam says that the obligation is only once a day, every day. There's no structure to it. That came from the rabbis. But you have to praise God, request something from God, as he pointed out. Requesting from God, that's very much part and parcel of recognizing the crisis that one is in. It's only through requesting that we recognize how much we are in need, which then we recognize how much we owe and how much we're thankful and praise. Then the Ramban comes along, and then the rabbis came along and instituted a form of prayer, comes along the Ramban and says, what do you mean? Prayer is obligated every single day. Rather, prayer is a great chesed God bestowed upon us, saying, I care about you so much that your problems are my problems. The only time an obligation is based on when there's a crisis. To which Rabbi Soloveitchik says, actually, the Machlokas says they both agree. Prayer is only when there's a crisis. But the Rambam says every moment, in a way, is a crisis for us puny, little human beings. I wish you all a wonderful week.